I woke up with the song "Jesus Paid It All" going through my brain this morning as I was thinking about the message. And you know, that's the loveliness, and we're talking about the beauty of Jesus, right? And we can wake up knowing the presence of the Lord and just thinking about Him. And the Holy Spirit brought all these verses to mind, and because I was thinking about the righteousness of God. And the amazing thing is there's too many verses to share them all with you this morning. But I just want you to know this is an introductory message about the righteousness of God from Psalm 71. And I'm from Cornerstone Bible Institute, and literally I only live about a half a mile away from the school, so I could walk, you know, if I wasn't pressed for time. And I often do walk back to school with my little dog. I have a schnauzer, right? A little gray schnauzer. And everybody loves Joya. So I kind of was envious at first, you know, because everybody loves Joya. Little schnauzer, great personality, and I'm at the end of the leash. But but when people see us, they greet Joya first because she's right there, and they say, "Oh yeah, and who are you?" So, and what's your dog's name? But we have really enjoyed being with Cornerstone Bible Institute for about 2 years now, and God has really done a marvelous work in our lives to bring us to this point, and we appreciate Him for that. The blessings and the goodness of our Lord. So we want to ask you for prayer because it's a ministry of God. So what else do we need to know about Cornerstone Bible Institute? Well, we have a fairly small student body. And you know what that means? It's almost like the teachers can really disciple the students. And it's really great in that respect. There is the concept that, well, you know, God can fill those roles up, those student roles, anytime He wants to. And we're always trying to be prepared. The other thing about Cornerstone is we focus on the Bible. And God's Word, it starts in our life when we're born again. God's Word leads us through life. And God's Word will bring us to heaven. And it's not a celestial heaven. It's a God-made heaven, isn't it? And God's not finished yet, is He, creating? Because I read in my book of Revelation that He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. Isn't that a blessing? So all this is going to be gone, and the new heavens and the new earth will be a blessing to all those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in our passage, Psalm 71, We see that word trust and hope, and we see the person of the Lord. And right away in verse 1, we see the Lord in all capitals. And that kind of relates to Yahweh, right? Or Jehovah. We like to say, us English people, Jehovah. Well, Jehovah is the ever-existing one. He was always there. He's the ever-existing one. And He personally is involved with promises and the covenants with mankind. And so the Jehovah who is there. And don't you appreciate that? Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's always there. And we can count on that. So when I'm trusting in Him, when I'm hoping in Him, He's always there. So He was there before me, and He's going to be there. And I like that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Jesus comes back, snatches us up, and we're raptured into His presence, always to be with the Lord. And so this is an incredible chapter that David is sharing with us. And what he's doing is he's introducing the righteousness of God. Now, one of the things that righteousness is, have you ever tried to define it? have you ever tried to figure out all the things about righteousness? And I'm going, I scratch my head, and then I say, yeah, but there's so much. And you and I use righteousness all the time, don't we? Lately, people have been running to the stores and getting TP, toilet paper. And it's in the news, isn't it? Now, was that right? Well, they want to be able to have those needs met. I think it's representative of, I'm a needy person, I need to go to the store. And so they come home with all those things. Well, there's three things I'd like you to, before we read this chapter, and you look for that word righteousness as we read, but our 3 points this morning is three aspects of God's righteousness. So one aspect of God's righteousness is found in He will come and rescue us, deliver us, and another way is to save us. And so those are three different perspectives when you look at God's righteousness. We'll talk about that. Secondly, the second aspect of the Lord's righteousness or Jehovah's righteousness is in my life, it's His presence. And so there's another aspect that His righteousness will be right there, present with me. Okay? And a third aspect of righteousness, the righteousness of God, is there will be future trials, but He is walking with us and will bring us to Himself. Isn't that a wonderful promise? So the righteousness of God is full of interesting ideas. We have Jesus who rescues us, and then Jesus brings His riches into our life, and then Jesus totally reveals to us God, and the amazing thing is that revelation of Jesus. So there's 3 R's to remember through all of this, right? He rescues us, He gives us His riches in Jesus Christ, and Jesus reveals to us God. These are all right things to do. And really, righteousness is an amazing thing. It's part of the attributes of God. God is righteous. And when we are saved, He literally, I mean, and it's a wonderful gift. He gives to us, and what do I do for a gift? I hold my hands out and say, God, give me your righteousness in Jesus Christ. And we could turn to Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 3 and look at how I receive the gift of righteousness from Jesus. What a blessing. And this gift is tremendous. Now, we came here to learn about Mormon land. We came here to learn about the Mormon people. You know, we don't have too many. We do have a ward, I think, in Hot Springs, but we don't hear too much. I was surrounded by 2 girls and, you know, an old man walking the dog, and they stopped their car, pulled into the side of the road, got out, and it was blistery cool, but Joya said, we got to go for a walk. And they surrounded me. I don't know how 2 young ladies can surround somebody, but they surrounded me, and they had memorized these ideas and thoughts and were presenting, and it really sounded good. You know, I'm going, wow, these young ladies, they know so much. But really, they had memorized, and it sounded really good, the Mormon teachings and how I could participate in all that. And so it was so cold, and we were standing out. They were really dressed in woolly clothes, so they could do that. But I thought, where did they come from, and where are they going? I never saw those 2 young ladies again. But it was a pretty incredible. So we went to Temple Square the other day. And, you know, I never saw or heard anything about sin, right, or evil. It was all very positive, all very uplifting, all very encouraging, but nothing about sin, nothing about evil. and nothing about righteousness. Like, where would I get righteousness? But I heard a lot about, well, if you get baptized and if you baptize yourself for others, you know, this is our ministry. This is our work. So if you get baptized, and also there's an accounting of good deeds. I heard about that, you know, and feelings. There are lots of feelings. Oh, I just feel the love of Jesus here. And I thought, okay, you know, we enjoy the love of Jesus, don't we? And then they says, you know, and I just want to work. I want to present myself. I want to provide a year, 18 months, right? A year and a half to work for the church and to do the things that I can do for the church, to give of myself. And I said, yeah, that's really good, right? But nothing about sin, nothing about righteousness. So here we have David. Now remember where David is, right, in relation to Jesus Christ. David is looking for his deliverer, his Savior, but we already have the deliverer, our Savior in Jesus, don't we? And he came, and he died on the cross for us. And we had one song, right? I saw my sin on the cross. That was on Jesus, wasn't it? The righteous one died for me. And so how does that all work out? Well, let's think about this a little bit in the fact that, remember Abraham, he lived about 2000 BC. I don't put an E in there, I put BC, before Christ, 2000 years before Christ. So that's almost 4000 years ago. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So another one, how does that work? And so I scratched my head. How do you relate righteousness? And how do you relate all these things? Now that you've had an introduction a little bit, we're going to be looking at righteousness. So look for that word when we read Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, that my praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. And remember a song we just sang? Rejoice, right? Rejoice. And so let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonored that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Verse 19 says, Thy righteousness, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice. And when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Wow. So you have a constant remembrance of the righteousness of God. And if you notice in the New Testament where the writers talk about righteousness, it is always righteousness of God is passed down to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus reveals to us the righteousness of God, and literally we find out in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that Jesus is called the righteous, or you could add the righteous one. And so he brings that to us. And so there's a little bit difference. Remember how David now is looking to his Creator God, and he's talking and praising his Jehovah, right? The covenant-keeping one, the I Am, the always, the one who is always there. And you and I get to have even a better picture of Jesus Christ, of who God is and his righteousness. So let's look at the first aspect. David was expecting and asking for deliverance. And notice that he has many enemies listed here. Many things can go wrong. And so he needed deliverance from these enemies. He needed to know and to understand. Also, he pointed out that those who are persecuting him, those who are causing trouble, those who wanted him dead, right? He asked God, now you give them confusion. You give them shame. You let them fall in their evil doings. You allow them to go their own way. And but David is really focusing on the Lord himself and his righteousness. So again, this is a faith thing, isn't it? Starts with Abraham. Abraham believed God. Okay? Now God came to David and said, now David lived about 1,000 BC, right? 1,000 BC. So that's 3,000 years ago. And then, of course, Jesus came. That was about 2,000 years ago. So as we see time coming along, we see that God is revealing a little bit more for us today. And we can learn from those history, those stories. We can learn from how they put their faith in God. We can learn all these things. So with the first aspect is that deliverance and salvation. And it is the Lord himself, the Jehovah, that relationship that David had with God. And this is an amazing thing. And of course, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to put my hope in God. And you and I have an even clearer picture of our God today, don't we? And so when we trust in God, when we put our hope in Jesus Christ and his redemption, his salvation at the cross, we're saved from sin, aren't we? And God gives us righteousness. So let's see how this can work out in our own life. First of all, I notice on our trip that we prayed almost every day for safety on the road. See, now, we were praying for deliverance, weren't we? it's pretty risky being out on the highways today. And so we prayed. We asked for deliverance, for safety out on the road. And David is really bringing this to pass. There's many enemies. And you know, we have people who do not like God. And they say he doesn't exist, but they sure want to fight God. They say, I'm not going to be answerable to God. And so today, there's many enemies there. I praise God that he has given us a government who gives us some protection, don't you? And there's a place there that God uses the government. But also, what happens if we do get into trouble? Okay, let's say there's a ship out to sea and it's taking on water. That's the worst scenario that you could ever have, is being out to sea. And I'm an old Navy guy. And if our submarine in the Navy started leaking, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of energy put into, we got to stop this leak. What happens if the submarine fills up? And I'll go meet with the Lord. But that's okay. That's another story. And so, but say this ship is out to sea and it's taking on water. So what do? They send out the SOS. SOS, help us, help us. And sometimes the signal will reach one of those radio operators, right? And they'll send that signal and the ham radio operator says, I better notify the authorities. And so next thing you know, the Coast Guard is there. They heard, oh, there's a ship out at sea that needs our help. And so they rush out, right? See, that's the right thing to do, isn't it? And so they're rushing out to save those people on the ship. And the radio went out, and the signal is going out, and they start sending out, we're here. This is our position on this little speck of a world. And so all these people, and guess what? A little fishing boat picks up the radio signal and says, wow, I'm really close to them. And so the little fisherman in his little fishing boat, of course, I think of them as big boats, but he starts heading towards the ship that's in trouble to rescue him. Isn't that amazing how we have that kind of instilled in our hearts that we want to be helpful, that we want to be encouraging, that we would be there. So now think about God. God is there in heaven, and there's one psalm that says he's actually higher than heaven, and he humbles himself to check out what's going on in heaven, and then he humbles himself even lower to check out what's going on in our world. God is so great. Remember, he's the one who created this universe. And he cares for us. So God hears our cry. God is there. And David is saying, God, you are my rock. You are my fortress. You're the one who saves me. He delivers him out of trouble. And so God is there to do that, isn't he? And so that's one perspective, one aspect of God's righteousness, is that he's in the business to save people. You know what? I really like 1 John chapter 2, where it says Jesus is the righteous one, because it goes on and says he is the propitiation, right? Not just for me and you, but for the whole world. He meets those needs of salvation. And that's the right thing to do. So if you think, well, God's righteousness, you know, what is that? Well, one thing is he responds. Can you call God a first responder? And we like that word here in America, don't we? If I get into trouble, 911, I'm going to call those first responders. And they will help me. And we can really appreciate those guys, can't we? Because they're 24 hours, they're right there. They're ready to be moving right in and help us out. If we have a fire in our home, right? How about the ambulance? If I'm getting to the age where if I fall down, I may not get up again. And but God, you know, being older, He's not going to leave me. He's always present. I'm glad that you don't have that problem yet. We have these young people. I like to hang around these students because they help me stay young. And it's a great. So the righteousness is going to be something that the Lord responds, and He's moving in my direction. It's all by grace, you see. I'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Now here's a little picture of the gospel, but remember, when we talk about the table, we could go back to Psalm 23, okay? Psalm 23 says that the Lord will set a table in the presence of my enemies. So what is He doing? He's talking about the deliverance, okay, of the people. And now you and I, now think about this. This table is something that is brought to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, He says, I speak as to wise men, and I think that's what you are today. You're very wise, looking into the Word of God. And judge ye what I say, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? Now that's a good old English word, which means our fellowship together. Okay? And so, it is not the communion of the blood of Christ. So that's a question. Got that? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And that's a question. Okay, and this is our fellowship. This is, we, you Greek students, that's koinonia, right? This is our fellowship. These are things that we have common together. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, that we are all partakers of that one bread. So in Jesus Christ, we have this bond and unity of being one in Jesus. This is right. This is the righteousness of Christ, to unify ourselves, to make common, to be part of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. And so as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in Him, our trust in Him, He presents, for Thou art my hope, O Lord God. So David got that right, didn't he? The whole thing is looking to Jesus Christ. The whole thing is believing on Him. The whole thing is He is providing the salvation. And so, again, now He says, deliver me. What? And we just had this great 19 sessions with J.B. Hickson. He is the new president of Cornerstone Bible Institute. And he says, whenever you see the word saved, always look at the context. What are you being saved from? And Jesus saved us from our sins, didn't he? He also gave us this gift of righteousness. So let's look at the present, or the presence of God. And that's the second aspect of the Lord's righteousness, or Jehovah's righteousness. And He did this intentionally, you see. Now remember how long ago Abraham was, and we call that the Abraham covenant, right? God made him a promise, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Then He made a covenant with David that on your throne, this earthly throne of David, on this throne, you'll always have the seed, that singular seed. And we look to Jesus Christ to fulfill that for Israel. And then we have the new covenant, that Jesus Christ to become the mediator of the new covenant for Israel. And Jesus says, yet I have an assembly. I have a group of people that I'm going to pull in with each one of us. So the illustration is, when you look at like Psalm 19, remember, the heavens declare. So God's creation is talking about this righteousness, the righteousness that we receive from God. And so the nature is there. The nature shows forth thy righteousness. And God, what does God say about this? And God's judgment in this is God then looking at us, and we have the gift of righteousness, and it's come to us, and we've taken it, and now Christ, or God, Christ is the judge, but God himself sees us as righteous. That even comes to, you know, we're talking about our present, right, and the presence of God, and that comes very close to our own hearts. And so Paul was trying to help us see, now put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness. So there's something I have to put off. Now, we don't want to keep our sin, right? So we lay that at the cross. But now I don't want to, oh, I was born in sin, so I want to put that off. But we're not left empty. We're filled. We go to the new man in Jesus Christ. We're filled. And we put on the new man. And so Paul in Ephesians and Colossians and through most of his letters, he's saying, now put off the flesh. Put on the new man. And the new man is found in Jesus. Now you don't hear any of those teachings at the Mormon temple. Think about that. What do we have in Jesus that they don't have? And that's where I said the three R's, right? He rescued me, he has given me his riches, and Jesus has revealed to us, he has not left us empty, he has revealed to us what's going to happen in the future. So there's a real reality in our need here, isn't there, that I put off. I don't want to go to heaven with this old heart. I'm looking at that new heart that Jesus has given to me, that new covering, right? Remember the white robes in heaven? Given those white robes of the righteousness of the saints. So righteousness keeps coming up all the time in the Bible. And where do I get righteousness? Oh, I get it from God. And God is now meeting that need. How about our enemies? Again, so there's that concept. I'm being delivered today from the whores. and just being out there is risky, isn't it? But yet, God is delivering me from that. But yet, we also know he's going to deliver me. He's bringing us to himself. He is always with us. Remember, the enemies don't believe in God, right? They're unrighteous, and the things they do are cruel and wicked, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to be involved in that kind of things. The enemies of God will lay in wait, and this is how David saw them, that they were laying in wait for him. Oh, God's not with him. We can go get him. You know, that's what they say. We don't believe in God. And so when you go out in the real world, but you know, when I go out in the real world, I find myself very weak. I can't stand up against any of that. I can't deal with any of those things. I'm not one of their first responders, but I know the Lord Jesus Christ. The result then of Christ righteousness, God's righteousness coming to us is glory. All the things about Jesus talk about glory. His glory, God's glory, the glory in heaven, and what kind of city? The city's going to come down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem, and here it is. It's going to be presented at the new earth that God has created. And it's all going to be righteous. It's all going to be right. Look at what is right with God. look at what is right when he brings this life into our hearts. God is just full of action, isn't he? All the things he's doing. He is acting. He's responding. He is saving. He has brought his own, very own goodness. And when that goodness and his word comes into our life, guess what? The world is ready to test it. Are you sure you're righteous? Are you sure you have God's goodness? Are you sure? And you say, I hope so, which means, yes, I do. Okay, and the third aspect of the righteousness of God is that when we are walking in trials, we're also walking in God, with God. God is with us. God is here. Okay, again, the unbeliever is going to be in a state of confusion. We have to have some sympathy for them, you know. We need to have some, I know where you're at. I used to be there, and then I trusted in Christ, and Christ brought his righteousness into my life. So, again, I hope you're going to keep your eye on God's Word. I hope that you're going to study and try to develop in your own mind. Remember what David said here is, I'm going to hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. So I appreciate the praise songs and the praise and the singing. And I'm going to open up my mouth, he says in verse 15, and will show forth thy righteousness. Well, how can he do that? Except that he has believed in God and David has received. It's been accredited, imputed to his account for righteousness. Wow, the same kind of faith. I believe God is, and I believe that God has saved me. And I believe that Jesus Christ has died for my sins. And then he says, verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So is David trying to figure out how he could be righteous? No, he was saying, I am weak and lowly, and there's so many enemies out there. I'm in big trouble. I need my first responder to come into my life and bring his righteousness. And so now, the test in my life, can I talk about God's righteousness? Do I know the right words, the right Bible words? Do I know what God is doing in my life? Well, again, the witness to these people, okay, that they need to know and learn about the righteousness of Christ, about that forgiveness of sin, that redemption that we have in Jesus, and then receiving the gift of righteousness. It's all about Jesus then, isn't it? It's all about our Christ, the anointed one of God. And so my tongue, right, as I walk through my trials, as I go through life, walking with God, walking in the Spirit of God, walking worthy of the gospel, that my tongue is going to talk about God's righteousness. And now I'm going, am I adequate for that? I don't know if I can be faithful to God and his righteousness. I know what? I'll be filled with God's Spirit. God's Spirit will give me the words to praise God, and God's Spirit will indwell me and give me the direction and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Spirit will intercede with my spirit, reminding me, yes, you are righteous in Christ. You are a child of God. And that's my place now, isn't it? I'm now part of the body of Christ. I can do this. I can praise God in Jesus' righteousness, the righteous one's name, and the power of God can be displayed in my life and display the salvation that Jesus Christ has given to me. Now think about it. First responder, right? His presence. And now going through trials, people are going to be able to see the righteousness of God. Let's close by turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. What has God done? Verse 5 says, you also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Those are those righteous words, to be acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous possession. And it all comes as part of the gift of God. And then look at verse 9. Okay, here's Peter, and he's bringing to us, after he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, he says, here is your place. Here's what the Holy Spirit is going to present in you. Here's your position, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That, to me, that's it's special people, God's people, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you see what the righteousness of God has done in our life? He's given us a position. How old do you need to be to do this? You can be a child. And I can attest now, right, being older, and just like the psalm said, gray-haired, that God is still with me. And he's always going to be with you. Isn't that a blessing? So here's your introductory message about the righteousness of God. It is a gift that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have faith in that? Do you hope in that? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Oh, what the great gift that you have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That now we can be called children of God, and that we can be your witness, that we can be singing your praise, that we can be standing on that solid rock. And you are our fortress, not just to be delivered in this world, but to be destined to be living with Jesus forever and ever. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray for the filling of your Spirit for the rest of the day as we walk in your Spirit and walk in the fruit that he is producing in our lives. Thank you, Father, for this grace that you have given to us, the grace that is called righteousness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.